Without further ado, we're going to get going this morning. And again, I would like to thank Rico and Eli for doing breakfast. And Rico, like he does practically. Yeah, give him a hand. Give him a hand. And making breakfast wasn't enough for Eli today. He had to go the double step. Give us a double blessing today.
The triple blessing
is Eddie's speaking this morning, and that'll be our dessert, right? He's so sweet. Isn't he sweet, Donna? Yes, he is. So he'll be our dessert. But without further ado, we're honored to have Eli with us. Eli always brings a great message, doesn't he? Amen? Is everybody ready then? All right, Eli, who would you like to pray for you this morning and open us up?
Since John Clinton's up, that would be
John Clinton. John, you shouldn't be so slow. Come here, buddy.
Last shall be first, brother.
All right. Well, Father, we thank you for the blessing of this meal and this time together, and especially the meal of the Word. And, Father, we just pray, Father, for Eli, Lord, that the message that he brings forth, Lord, would be a clarity of things that you want to speak to our hearts, that we understand those things, Lord God, that he is bringing forth today. And, Father, we just pray for your blessing to be upon this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, John.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. I hope you're enjoying your breakfast. And
yes, we are.
Good, good, good. I'm going to start by reading a verse. There's going to be a couple of verses.
You must be scared this morning. Look at this. Nobody will see you. It's like a runway. You parted the Red Sea this morning.
Chapter 8, verse 1 through 3 says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. Well, the title to today's class is Trust the Process. I've been hearing this for the last 3 months. It just never clicked. I never understood what was the meaning of it right now in my life. Many of you know that my job has gone through a contract and it's still in the wind, but it's still looking positive. And the assistant superintendent just kept telling me, trust the process, trust the process, trust the process. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, dude. Like, you're just killing me. But I have this devotional that I 2 weeks ago, I had to leave to Florida unexpectedly. A cousin of mine is going to be put into hospice. She's about 44 years old. So I asked for prayer. The great thing about that is she's accepted it, and she's Christian, so that's a blessing within itself. But just going down there, on the way there, in all places of a truck stop, I found this. So it's like, man, at a truck stop, you know. And it's daily devotionals, and there's one story I read that opened up my eyes even more and in connection with things that my wife, out of all people, the Lord used to let me understand what he meant by trust the process. The process is not the same for each and every one of us. It's a difference. No two are alike. This is a story of a man named Michael W. Smith. It says, Michael W. Smith grew up in a small town in Canova, West Virginia, the son of an oil refinery worker and a caterer. Michael became a Christian at the age of 10. During his teen years, and I'm going to go a little bit faster just because I have like 17 notes. And if I don't finish, Bob puts me into next Sunday. So during his teen years, he was surrounded.
Trust the process.
He was surrounded with a solid support group of fellow believers who gathered frequently to play music. After a semester at nearby Marshall University, he dropped out of college and moved over 300 miles away to Nashville to pursue a career in music. When his attempt to get a record deal failed, he began to experiment with drugs and alcohol and had an emotional breakdown. In October of 1979, just before his 22nd birthday, Michael rededicated his life to Christ, and good things began to happen to him. He met and fell in love with Debbie Davis and married her in late 1981. Earlier that same year, he was signed by Metal Green Music and began writing gospel hits for other artists. After touring as a keyboardist for Amy Grant and becoming her opening act, he recorded his first solo album, which was nominated for a Grammy. The album included Friends, which is a title, Friends, the first of many hit songs for Michael, which he co-wrote with Debbie. How Majestic Is Your Name, one of the songs that Michael wrote for Sandy Patty in 1981, has simple lyrics repeating the first sentence of Psalm 8, verses 1, and then lauding the name and power of God. The song became a hit, even resulting in publication of many church hymnals and songbooks. When Michael wrote the song, he had no idea that he would become one of the most successful Christian performing artists in history, selling over 18 million albums. He was a poor, young, unproven songwriter living in a big city, far from his small hometown. But he praised God with everything that he had. We should all do the same. The crazy thing about it is Michael set out, even though he had the support and he was in the right place, he set out to go and looking for other things that weren't what the Lord had for him at that time. And he failed miserably. But it's funny because most of the time we do the same exact thing. On Friday, and this is where my wife comes into play, we went to my brother's house, and my brother's a very giving, humble person. He's amazing. I tell him that's, you know, how I want to be and I want my son to be. So he finally, after so many years, he bought himself a brand new pickup truck, which he's never done. And he went to work with it, and it was amazing. The blessing, but the devil was waiting for him at the door. So as soon as he pulls into my brother's a journeyman, he pulls into the lot. And, you know, a lot of the old timers come up and they say, you know, how much are you selling a week? Because that's, you know, what a dealer does. Uh-huh. So that emotionally broke my brother down inside. So I was sitting with my brother. I'm like, dude, you have everything you have because the Lord has planned it this way, you know? Ironically, they've been also looking to adopt children. 18 years, they haven't been able to have children. They received some good news that both of these children's parents and family have all been denied rights to the kids. So now it's looking great for them. And I said, brother, you know, everything's falling into place. Now you guys got a bigger vehicle. You know, your house is ready. You know, it's God's time. So then I, in turn, see my wife looking at the truck, and I'm thinking my wife wants the same truck. And I'm like, yeah. So I tell her, like, hey, wait a couple years, and we'll get one. And my wife says, I don't want one. And I'm like, it's a brand new truck. Like, it's beautiful. I told my brother, how long are you going to sleep in it? Because it's amazing. She's like, we had our time for that. She was like, to a lot of people, we did everything backwards. We got married very young. We had children very young. We got our home very young. We had to sacrifice and buy a vehicle that was reliable. And we gave up on the trips. And we gave up on the expensive Christmases. And we gave up on the expensive clothes. You know, secondhand stores were great for us. But we're past that. She was like, it's not our time for that anymore. You know, God has a time for all of us. They did all that while we were raising our children. Now they're going to start raising children, and we're going to do what they did. And I'm like, yeah, I got to trust the process because that's what God said. Right? We don't all live in the same circumstances or the same time. It's just when the Lord has it for us. And every plan, here's the thing, I look at the Lord as our financial advisor, spiritually speaking, because he has a plan individually set for all of us. You know, my financial plan is not going to work for John, you know? And my financial plan is not going to work for anybody else. You don't want my financial plan. It's pretty bad. But it's custom fitted for me. Just like my life with the Lord is custom fitted for me. It's not going to fit anybody else. The way I do things, when we come here, Ricardo and I always talk before we get here. We text each other. And it's always a, hey, I can't wait to fellowship with you, man. Can't wait to do this. And from the moment we get in, we start praising the name of the Lord because it's a blessing, you know. It's our faith in action through food. I don't know if that makes any sense to any of you guys, but, you know, it's our faith in action.
Just looking bad for that. That's faith in action right there.
They're
going through the process. That's right.
Let's talk about Pastor Don. Pastor Don has trusted the process with his coaching, you know. I'm pretty sure it's not a gig that pays a lot, right? But he does a lot more. He does a lot more than that. When Pastor John tells me, when he showed me a picture of him back when he was in Boston, I'm like, whew. You know, and he was studying music, let alone did he ever know that that music was going to turn into a ministry, not just a degree or not your occupation. It's a ministry. And a ministry is different than an occupation, because occupation, you can change your ministry. It's put in you by the Lord and you have to carry it out. It's a process. So I was extremely amazed by how God used my wife to open up my eyes. And she goes, I was searching for a job since October. Nothing happened. And then all of a sudden, when I was, just here's the irony, right? I was sitting outside for the last men's breakfast, and I was washing our truck, our family, I had washed it. So I was just drying it outside, and Eddie comes up to me, he's like, man, you got a new truck? I'm like, no, dude, I've had this for 6 years, and we all know Eddie. 6 years! I'm like, yeah, he's like, it looks new. I'm like, I just paid it off. And then I'm thinking to myself, the Lord led us, and I sat there with my wife last night, and I said, this is how amazing God is. You helped raise our kids completely. They're self-sustained now. During that time, even with the struggles, you allowed us to pay our car off. You allowed us to pay our house off. You know, as difficult as that was, you allowed us to do those things with one income. And people were like, you make good money. I'm like, I don't see it. And then my mom was like, what do you mean you don't see it? You don't see it in your home. You don't see it in your vehicle. You don't see it in your children. You don't see these things? And I'm like, now I do. Because you told me. But I didn't. And now the Lord has blessed us with my wife getting a job. And I'm sitting like, 5 years too late, but thank you. But it was just the whole, like, God telling me, I told you to trust the process. And I look at it like, yep, he allowed my wife to raise our children, right? Give them a hot meal when they get home. My kids are sick. I don't have to call 17 people to see who can pick them up. We don't have to leave work. I've been blessed with a job that gives me some flexibility. And through all that time, he always provided. I mean, a couple months ago, the Lord used Ray and Ricardo. In a time of need, Ricardo was like, hey, go do this food show with Ed, with Ray. We talked about it, and Ray handed me that check when we had zero. And I'm like, and he came to the house. He's like, here, brother. I'm like, whoo, Lord, you're amazing. And all I had to do was trust you, right? Wait for you. And it drives me crazy. If anybody has the Bible, your Bible with you.
A real
one? Genesis 37, verse 5 through 10. The Word of God says, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were behind sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf. His brother said to him, are you indeed to reign over us, or are you indeed to rule over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me. But when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this that you dream, that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you? And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. We all know the outcome of what happened, but just understand, he's receiving these dreams and he knows it's the Holy Spirit, right? How do you think he feels when everybody's mad at him? it's not only his brothers now, which we're used to sibling rivalry, but now it's his father, the person he adored and admired, telling him, am I supposed to bow down before you? I'm your father. It's not the other way around, you know. But what they didn't realize is he was going to be the king, and he was going to be a messenger. And when you bow down before the kings in the Bible, those that were actually anointed and placed by God, you were bowing down in the presence of the Lord. You were bowing down to a man, you know. So he had to trust the process, right? But it gets even a little bit crazier. Same chapter 37, verse 16 through 20. Says, I am seeking my brothers, he said. Tell me, please, where are they pasturing the flock? And the man said, they have gone away, for I heard them say, let us go to, is it Dothan? Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. I hope that's correct. If not, y'all know what I'm talking about. Dothan, there you go. They saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, here comes a dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Right? So his brother's intentions were never to sell him. His brother's intentions were to kill him. What would have happened if they would have killed him? His dreams would have never been realized. Right. Never. Right? So even though he got sold into slavery, I could just imagine, like, man, God, you've forsaken me. You've left me. Yeah, he didn't understand that his brother's initial intentions were to kill him. So the Lord was protecting him by letting him be sold instead of being killed, because there was a promise and there was a plan. So sometimes we have to say to ourselves, God, I don't know why I'm in such despair, why I'm in agony, why I'm in pain, but I have to trust your process. Yep. Right? I have to trust that what you have in place for me is exactly, and where I'm at is exactly where I'm supposed to be at, as long as me, spiritually, I know that I'm where I'm supposed to be at. Because you can't be at a nightclub for adults only and say, this is where the Lord wants me. You know, or this is exactly where I'm supposed to be at this time. You know, I'm like, no. By trusting the process, we have to accept his process. We have to understand that we have the Holy Spirit in our conscience that tells us where we're supposed to be, you know, that motivates us and speaks to us, not with words. Doesn't have to speak to us with words. For a long time, I fought with that. Coming to this church, I fought with that because I was being told other things, right? But I've seen that, you know, all my enemies that I've had, have you guys ever seen them really nice long tables of dominoes and it just takes one action and they all start falling? Right? Like the walls of Jericho. That's how my enemies have started to fall. And they've started to fall, and I haven't had to do anything. I've just had to shut up, continue to praise the Lord, and do what he has asked of me. And to see that in action, to see that happening, you're like, man, dude, if you don't believe in God, I don't know what's wrong with you. Right? And I'm still amazed. And he amazes me every single day because I see it, and I see it in our church. I see it in our brothers and sisters. I see it just in the faces of people that come here. When we praise the Lord, when we sincerely praise him, it's amazing. I have had to sit back and realize and just think to myself, the thing that we have to ask the most is, God, give me clarity and understanding. Don't give it to me easy. Just let me understand that when I'm going through these trials and tribulations, this is all part of your game plan. Let me understand it, though. Because sometimes we always want him to heal us or take us out of the situations. And sometimes we're supposed to be in that situation because there's a reason for it. Me, personally, I've had a lot of friends that have been gangbangers and lead a world that live in the world that I would never want to be in. And when they come to the Lord, they come with a different perspective than I come. But the most amazing thing is they can go and speak to the drug addict from a personal level. Say, hey, you know that feeling you're getting? That high is great, but the high that the Lord gives you, is 30 times more than that. And what happens, drug dealers are always, I mean, drug addicts are always looking for that next high. And the thing is, hey, I've experienced what you experienced, and I'm telling you that when you have the presence of the Lord in you, it's an almighty high that you can't come down from. And it's absolutely free. You pay nothing for it. And I sit there, and when you talk to gangbangers, I don't know if you guys have had ever dealt with people that are in gangs. They live and die by rules that are ironic and stupid to me. Right? Don't wear this color. Why not? You know? But imagine that. When I was in high school, you know, I grew up in a territory where you're not supposed to wear the blue and black. I mean, where you're supposed to wear blue and black, you're not supposed to wear green and black. And I don't know if you guys remember LA Gears, but when LA Gears came out, they came out in crazy little colors. So I got a pair of green ones because they were on sale. My mom didn't care. And then on top of that, you know, they would put beads in them. Remember that? So I went to school, and they're like, oh, you're wearing the wrong colors. What party, what gang are you from? I'm like, the G.O.D.s. I was a church kid. He's like, what's that? Oh, we're Disciples of God. Is that a new gang? No, bro, I've been going there since I was a kid. It was just the irony because I didn't understand anything that they were talking about. And I think they comprehended, like, this dude is stupid. They're like,
they were going to educate you.
But the gang that I was a part of was way bigger than theirs, and they never laid a finger on me. In fact, they respected that I was a disciple of God at the age of 11. And to walk into the school and you make a friend with this guy and you make a friend with that guy and you feel that you have nothing, no one can stop you, that's an amazing feeling at that age. But what did you do? You had friends from all sorts of life, all walks of life, and it was okay. You didn't have to adapt to them. You just had to be an example to them of what you were and what the Lord has put in you. And he put it in through my parents, and they instilled it in me growing up, and I never shied away from it. Yeah, I fell off the road and the path, but dude, it's like it was slapping me in the back of my head every time I was doing something wrong, right? And I would tell my wife, like, oh, this is bad. She's like, no, you got to try. I'm like, no, we can't do these things. She's like, why? I said, because, man, the Bible says that there's something for us. There's a promise that he has for me, and every time I do this, it may be the last time that I'll be able to do anything, and I'm going to miss out on eternity to try something out here on earth. It's not worth it. I said, I'm going to gain everything, and I just have to give up this. I have to give up the pleasures of this world. I have to. And here's the thing. It's not perfect. It's not like you don't fall. You know. I said, we don't deserve his love because his love is completely different than ours. It says, Ricardo and I were talking this morning, and I said, I'm no longer amazed by God because he's great. But every day, he still reminds me, and I'm amazed at the love that he has for me. Not him, just the amount of love that he has for me. Where I trip and fall, and instead of yelling at me, it's like I would grab my son and pick him up. Hey, you got 6 scrapes on this knee? All right, start scraping that knee so that we can patch this one up now. Not stop doing it. Don't do this. Nope. I got you. I'm going to take care of you. And every day I'm like, my luck's got to run out. My wife told me, that's not luck, that's love. You know, your luck can run out. But the love that God has for us, it amazes me every single day. I walk into my job. Here's a dude that couldn't finish college, right? Because I did everything, like my wife said, backwards. Didn't finish college, demeaned over and over and over and over again. Most of you guys know, like Ricardo, Pastor John know that this year has been extremely difficult for me. I've had to do more hours at my job than I've ever had to do before. It was all because I had somebody that had a target on my back, and the Lord was giving me knowledge and clarity because I was so angry at sometimes, and I was going to do something, and then he'd deviate me. Literally, sometimes I'd be driving to a certain part, and I work for a school district, so I have 25 different buildings that I visit, and I would be heading to one building with a purpose that wasn't great, and I end up at another one. What am I doing? And I've worked tremendous hours, haven't been able to go to home group, and it's just like, right? So we sat in front of the board, this panel, our company went in there, sat in front of this panel, and there was three specialists represented middle school, high schools, and elementary schools, right? And two of the schools there were the reason we were going to lose the contract a year and a half ago. And when they sat there, the one person that had this target on me the whole time, they didn't give him a chance to talk. They're like shutting him out. And I gave, you know, our little spiel or whatever, and our CEO, and we have the director of sales with us right there, and he doesn't say a word. And this is a dude that talks. If I talk a lot, he makes me look like a choir boy because he's a salesman by nature, but he is the director of sales. This guy's talking. He usually talks. He says nothing. I'm sitting here like, dude, get up and say something. The CEO is talking, but for the first time, the CEO makes no sense. This is a very wise man, but he's making no sense. And he's a man of God, but he's making no sense. And they ask the question yet again, how can you improve? And he tells them, and so God uses one of those people and says, hey, Eli, how can you improve? I said, what do you mean, how can you improve? I said, you got me. And Bob says, that's what I was waiting for. He's like, we needed an Eli here. And I said, no, it's not because of me, man. I'm blessed. I'm blessed beyond measure. I said, because I couldn't come in here and do what I have done without a team, but most importantly, without God. And I'm sitting in front of people that probably don't even, probably atheists, and I could care less. And here is a contract that hinges $4 million on a contract, and I could still care less. Because I have had to learn that I can't shy away from the person who gives me everything I have every single day. And I sat there in front of this board, and they were like, and Bob said, good. So a week later, the person who had his target on my back, he's like, hey, man, your biggest supporter was Bob. And Bob doesn't like nobody. He's like, Bob said that in the year that you've been here, he's seen you more than he's seen most people in 30 years that he's been here. He's seen more improvement in his building than he's seen in the last 30 years. He's seen dedication more than he's seen in the last 30 years. He said, I have never seen somebody in management come out and shovel snow. And I said, dude, I have always been taught to love my neighbor, whether they're making $12 or $300,000 a year. I treat them with the same respect and I love them in the same way. And I sat there and I'm like, God, whoo, you're amazing, dude. The director of operations tells me, hey, we're working out something that we may have to just bypass all the bids and come straight to you guys, but renegotiate. He's like, but there's one thing that I want to do. I'm like, what? He's like, I want to add two project techs so you don't have to do snow anymore. And I want to add two project techs so you can focus on your job. I'm like, man, you're amazing, God. Because now with my wife's job, I have to take my kids to school in the morning. And if not during the snow, I'd be out there at 1:30 in the morning, 2 in the morning, to 3 or 4, 5, 6, 7 o'clock at night. And he's like, but I'm working to bring these two projects text to you. And I'm like, man, Lord, your process was scary. Do you guys know what it is to be outside blowing snow at 25 degrees below zero? With the dude that sits at a desk? You know, I used to dress like Bob and Ray. Used to. Now Dockers and boots have become my friends. And to sit there and have this gentleman say, I'm doing this for you, not for the company, for you. And they no longer refer to me as the dude from DM Bird. They refer to me as, hey, this is our custodial manager. He does a great job. And I sit there. And I'm sitting at the same table. We sit at this big conference table. And forever they would sit on that side and I would be the lone person on this side. And it would just be like, hey, you're stupid. Hey, you're dumb. You're doing this wrong. Hey, 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 hey. Now the person who had the target on me is the one that sits on that side of the table by himself. And I still treat him with respect. And I still cover for him. And I still tell him, hey, dude, don't worry. I got you. Why? Because I'm not going to treat him the same way he treated me. Because the Lord has changed my life, changed my way of thinking, changed my actions, changed the way I breathe, I talk, and walk. And it's amazing. But I'm telling you, during this little transformation process, I was ready to give up. I was tired. I was hurt. You know, to be ridiculed when you walk into a place where people have told me, I don't want to get to know your name because you're not going to be here long. You're like, ugh, yeah. And that's coming from a place where you're embraced and loved. At the other district, I was loved, treated with so much respect. And to come here and the only thing they had to do was spit at me. But my wife opened up my eyes when she said, it's not our time. We had that time. We had that time. There was a time for Joseph to be in prison and be a slave, and there was a time for him to be king. Right? And who's to say what our time is? Abraham became a father at a very, very, very late age. Right? Who's to say he wasn't ready? God had other plans for him, and he was the man for the job. And I'm sitting here like, yeah, I love you, God. Don't make me no father at 65 or 70. Make me a granddaddy so I can send them back home when I'm tired. But I had to trust the process. Difficult as it may seem, even in here, in this church, even with something as simple as food, we had to start. For I don't know if you guys remember, for a while, we just did the same thing over and over again, right? And I said, Ricardo, bro, how about we change it up a little bit? I said, I'm a fat dude, bro, but I don't eat the same thing all the time. I change my meals. I said, I want people to keep coming. So we tried something. And we had to trust that it was going to work. And it didn't work a couple of times. That's okay. We could tell when people weren't smiling. Yeah. We could just tell. And it's like, all right, it's cool. And even our seasoning, we had to trust, like, man, is this too much Puerto Rican for everybody?
Never had too much Puerto Rican.
Well,
I know. I just ate one breakfast, and I'm Puerto Rican now.
There you go. But we had to continue trying new things and trusting that God was going to give us, you know, exactly what we needed to do and where we needed to be. And it was difficult because we were scared to move away from the norm. Right? And a lot of times, as Christians, we need to move away from the norm when God has a plan for us. And that plan may not be what we set in motion our lives. Like, hey, this is what I was going to be. Yeah, that's not what I want you to be, though. Right, Pastor John? You sit there and you're like, I tell God, I never thought I was going to be in charge of 100 people. I don't even like my kids. And you give me 100 adult children to watch? Right? But I trusted the process. His glory, like, he is glorified in every single thing we do. Every single thing we do. And I try to glorify him in my actions at work, in my home. You know, when my neighbor comes up, he's like, dude, man, you got this. And I'm like, yeah, bro, we're blessed. People look at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, no, dude, I don't have any of this because of what I've done. Because I can't do nothing. Sometimes I can't even get up unless I have a leave with me. Right? And he allows me. He pushes me. He gives me strength and motivation. And I thank him, and I'm blessed. And when my wife told me that, and then I talked to my brother, I said, man, bro, you're right. And I told my brother, you know what? Now it's your time to have a brand new truck. It's your time to have children, because that's what the Lord had. He's always had this in his plans for you. It's just you had to wait until the right moment. You guys have helped countless people, right? But now it's time. He's no longer weary or in doubt of what you can do for him, because he's everything he's given you executed and you've done, and you've done wholeheartedly, right? And now it's time to receive your blessings and receive your children, which I hope you guys keep in prayer, because they've had their two kids named for 18 years. Samuel and Naomi. 18 years. They have a plaque. My brother has a plaque on his desk that he cries sometimes. But you know what the irony is? The two kids that they're going to adopt is a boy and a girl, and they're sisters. And I tell brother, the little kid's name is Legend. And I tell my brother, keep his middle name. I said, because he's going to be legendary, because he's going to be the son of an almighty God. And he's like, Samuel Legend? I said, hey, you've had your names picked because the Lord gave them to you. But it's great. I said, hey, bro, God gave you those names 18 years ago. I said, any other human being would have given up. My sister-in-law, my brother would tell me the stories. Every month, you could tell when that time came because she would be in her tub crying. You could walk into the house and you can hear her wailing. Every month, like clockwork, for 15 years. And then she says, I'm not crying anymore. I'm a lot, and this is a lady that's a school teacher, by the way. And now she's a principal. She sees little kids grow up. She said, hey, you see this girl that's going to graduate? She was my student the first year. And now she's going to Wayne State. Yep. And she says, I have to just believe that God has a plan for me, whether it's having kids naturally or becoming a mother through adoption. I have to trust him. I can no longer cry. Because I've been able to do all these things. I've been able to touch, you know, students, and now she's in charge of a school with 260 students. So I said, sister, you just went from touching the lives of 30 kids per year to touching almost 300 kids per year. He's multiplied the blessings that you put onto others by tenfold. I said, look at it. You trusted him. You said, no longer am I going to cry. I mean, you have to be sad because you're human. But no longer am I going to question him. And my brother says, no longer am I going to get angry anymore. Because God has promised me something. He says, what did I do? I wrote down the promises that God had for me. He gave me their names. I wrote it down on a plaque, and I have it there. Because one day, I'm going to talk to Samuel and Naomi and let them know, hey, God gave me your name before you were even born. Because before he created them, the mother in the womb of your mother, he knew that you were set for us. And I had to trust that. I told my brother, great, man. I guess we have to trust the Lord. Right? And trust the process that he has. My brother never expected it would take 18 years. But you know what? When you want to become a father, and when you have a goal, and when you have a plan in your life, it's never too late. If I were to preach on the streets and God said, hey, you're going to start preaching in the streets when you're 70, but I'm going to take you at 72. Hey, if you want me for 2 years to do your work and that's what you want me to do, fine. There's a beginning and an end to everything. And if that's what you want, I'll do it. Just give me understanding and clarity so that when your process, when you put your plan in action, I don't stray away from your process because I'm human. Just give me wisdom, understanding. That's all I ask. And that's all we should ask for. Never ask for strength because you have it already. You just need to put it in action just like your faith.
Amen.
Okay? That's it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Give him a hand. You have a real knack of taking God's word and making it personal.
Amen. Good job. You know, as you were talking about trusting the process, how many of you saw the football draft? I know, you know, a lot of men in here. Huh? Michelle, you watch it because your husband was probably glued in front of that television set for 3 days. Yeah, you know. Here's a question for you, Michelle. How many people were there in Memphis watching out in the street? It was packed. I mean, there were 100,000 people. Now, what? Yeah, every day. And it was pouring rain, and they're standing out in the rain. Now, they weren't getting anything from it. I mean, it wasn't like they were being drafted. But they all had their teams. I mean, they're all decked out in their colors, and I didn't see too many Lion fans there, but I'm sure there were a few in there, you know. And it goes along right with what you were talking about. You know, these people had a hope. They had a vision. you know, of their team was going to get someone that was going to help them win a championship or do this. You know, and they all had their different processes of how their team was going to get there. And I always like at the end of the draft, you know, they bring the professional analysis guys on. And they contradict one another. And most of these guys never even played a down of football in their life, you know. But, you know, they, you know, we know what we're looking for. And, you know, as Christians, don't we all come in with a different idea, a different mindset of what the process is that God's going to take us through? And I couldn't help but think of when God took the Hebrews out of Egypt, what was their idea? Well, they thought they were going to march into the promised land in a couple days. But see, God had a process. And first was, well, first of all, there's going to be 10 plagues that I'm going to send. You're going to be ridiculed by the people that are there. You know, you're going to have to work extra harder making bricks without straw. Then when I finally get you out there, you're going to get a little bit thirsty. You're going to cry out, and then you're going to wonder where your food is coming, and you're going to be attacked by the enemies, and you're going to be fault finders and grumblers and all this. But see, that was the process. There was a purification. There was a trusting God every step of the way, even though they didn't understand what that total vision was. All they knew was they were going to the promised land, and they wanted to get there as soon as possible. But that's how it is in our life. And as you said, I like it that we all have those different paths that we go down, but there's a common element in all of it. Through that process, through the path that God takes us, there's always that reliance upon Him, whether it's at your work or whether it's at your own business or whether, you know, it's with Donna in her medical field or whatever it might be. And how many of them would have signed up for the journey had they really known? You know, and that's why sometimes even,
I wouldn't have.
You know, people giving their life to the Lord, they do it without even thinking about it. And Jesus said before a man builds a house, he sits down, he considers the cost. In other words, understand the process. There's going to be finances, there's going to be time, there's going to be this, there's going to be that, there's going to be required of you in marriage, whatever endeavor it is that we need to sit down, we need to, if we're wise, that's what we're going to think about. And there can be great loss also, and great sacrifice, and there can be embarrassment.
Yeah.
But yet, all those things, God works for what are good somehow, some way. And you know, that's why I really like, because I think about all the areas of our lives, obviously following Christ, but whatever it might be, what God takes us through. And we look in the book of Acts, we see there was a process there where they attended to the study of the word and to prayer and to breaking bread and to fellowship one with another and to evangelism and to worship. All these things were part of the process. So as we go forth here in a couple minutes, there's a process that we're going to enter into, and that's called worship. You know, and you know, I would encourage everybody today to say, God, I want to be part of the process. I want to go where you are taking me. And that's a dangerous prayer to pray, because you never know where He might take you. You know, but if we truly want to serve Him with our whole heart, mind, soul, and spirit, that's got to be our prayer. But you will find that when you do that, that's when that peace and that joy and you really are that contentment kind of comes, and you say, I just know I'm in the middle of His will. Even though all these things around me seem whacked out. And it could be a long process, like you were talking about Joseph. It took years until he ascended, and then his vision came true. And there were others that ascended quickly. With each of us, the process is different. So don't get discouraged, but say, God, give me grace. Give me strength. Give me faith to get through the process. Because you're not going to see that light at the end of the tunnel, but it's there. And He knows what He's doing. And He's going to bring to completion until Christ Jesus be formed in each one of us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Good job today, Eli. Very good job.